Hey everybody, welcome to Sunday Night Flesh and Blood. We're here on a Tuesday night. This is Nick and Colin from Team Raisin Quail, a subsidiary of the Romping Club. We are recording a little bit later than usual because we had a big trip to Atlanta, Hotlanta, the City of Lights, last weekend to play in Battle Hard in Atlanta. And
I miss PTI Cookout already.
Yeah, we got cookout in Valdosta, Georgia twice, once on the way up, once on the way back. So that was worth the trip right there.
Oh yeah.
Are there any pro quests? We need to look up if there's pro quests in Valdosta. Cause dude. I mean, I'll tell my wife, look, Anna, yeah, I'm going to go play Flesh and Blood like 4 hours away, but I'm going to get cookout before and after.
Yeah. I'm not willing to drive to Tampa. That's like an hour and a half, but I'm definitely willing to drive 4 hours to Valdosta to get cookout.
Yeah. It's like, we'll just get on the turnpike right up I-75. Can't be that far.
Dude, I know Brandon too.
Well, Brandon would for sure be in. But yeah, we got back from Atlanta yesterday. We decided to stay Sunday night as well and kind of take our time leaving Monday morning. Yeah, drove through Jacksonville, dropped some people off. What was it? It was like a 7 or 8 hour drive. But it was fun. It was fun. We rented an SUV. We rented a giant Suburban. So you, me, mm-hmm. Ryan, and our friends Brandon and Pedro on the way up. Then on the way back, we had a former child, Evan Herndon, tagged along with us for the road trip back. So we'll have to talk about the road trips a little bit too. But yeah, we really just want to get straight into recapping the Battle Hardened and the ProQuest Plus event. They're not called PTIs anymore. The ProQuest Plus, because we played in both of those. So yeah, let's jump right into it. Okay, Colin, do you want to start us off? Do you just want to just get right into it? Tell us about your experience at Battle Hardened Atlanta, what deck you were playing,
all that stuff. Yeah, that makes sense. We can both go through our Battle Hardens and then move on to the Pro Quest and things. I took Reinar, of course. Talked about it a little bit last week. Pretty intimidate heavy list. I did make one last minute change after we recorded last week. Where I ended up taking out the yellow barraging beatdowns for yellow smash instincts, another 6 power to make the deck a little bit more consistent, I thought, and trade off a little bit of like closing damage. And I think it worked out. I think I'm going to stick with that. But yeah, I was on Reinar. ProQuest went well for me. I can't lie. I'm really happy with my results. I ended up 6-2 in 10th place, you know, so not the goal. The goal is top 8, but in ProQuests, when a lot of it comes down to tiebreakers and stuff, it's like it's hard to go 6-2 and be disappointed with yourself. So I'm really happy.
Yeah, Battle Hardened, not ProQuest.
Jeez, you're right. Battle Hardened. Yeah.
It's okay. I got to give you more credit. More credit. 10th at a Battle Hardened is serious.
Yeah. So 10th of the Battle Hardened. Thanks.
Yeah.
I can kind of run down my matches real quick because I wrote them all down. I played a Victor round 1, so that was nice because I played a Victor round 1 and a Dash round 2, and I feel pretty favored into both those matchups. So that was good. Got the 2-0 start. Then I got the played Levia round 3. Probably my most exciting end to a game all weekend. So this will be one story I'll tell because I don't want to get into too many specifics or we'll be here all night. But yeah, round 3 of the Battle Hardened, played Levia. I was at 7 health, and he was at 5. He was flipped to consumed. He had just flipped to consumed like a turn or two before. And I was lucky enough to be able to apply pressure immediately, which is kind of what you need to do when they flip, to not let them like, you know, have multiple huge hands in a row or you're just going to die. But anyways, he's flipped. He's at, I think, 12 life at the beginning of the turn. Or did he block? No, I don't see. No, I think this was the turn after that. Yeah, he was at 5 life at the beginning of the turn. I played a Blood Rush spell, though. And played it into a CNC and intimidated 1 card, played the CNC, and he's got 1 card left in hand and 1 equipment block, and 2 of his other cards left in hand are no blocks. And he's at 5 life, so he can only block 4. He blocks 4, takes 2. I destroy his arsenal, which is a beast within, and he revealed 2 non-attack actions, and before he hit his first 6 power and died. And it was amazing. Oh, man. He felt so bad.
Oh, God. That's rough. That's rough for that guy.
Yeah.
So on the Blood Rush pillow, you like just played, did you claw before, or did you end up drawing all reds or something? And like, you just,
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so. Cause I'm looking at my life counter and his life went from 12 to 5 to 3 to dead. So I don't know how I would have dealt him 7 off of 2. Oh yeah. So maybe he did block once. I must've claw-clawed CNC. He must have dealt him 7 life between the two claws. 7. Yeah. So maybe he did block once, but But either way, he was at 5 when I hit him for the 4 damage, or the 2 damage after he threw his 4 blocks, and he died to Beast Within from Arsenal. That's hilarious. Round 4, played against this Bolton player. You guys might know him. His name's Nick. He handled me. Yeah. he handled me, handed me my first loss. Game wasn't particularly close. If he wants to get into it, he can.
I'll talk about it a little bit, probably.
Next round, I played... Yeah. So I was at 3-1 at that point. Nick was 4-0 at that point. So we were honestly both feeling great. Like, I was in a great mood after round 4, and I'm sure you were too, 4-0. I don't want to steal your thunder telling your story. Then I played Akatsu next round. Super great game. We were both at 1 when I won it. I gained 6 life off of Dig Up Dinner. That's the MVP of the whole weekend for me, to be honest. The next round, played with another person that we drove up with, Pedro, when we were both 4-1. Pedro is also on Bolton, and I was able to get there against him. Then in round 7, which turned out to be my winning end, which I didn't really think about at the time. You know, I try and just like stay in the moment when I'm playing. But looking back, it was the winning end. I played a Dromai, and it just didn't go my way. You know, he got dragons out. I banished a Blood Rush Bellow to Beast Within. It just wasn't going to be my game. He won very handily. And the guy who beat me, Jeremy Chen, the guy who ended up winning it. So that was cool. He's a super nice guy. In round 8, I beat a Great Axe Dory. So to end the battle hard in 6-2 in 10th place.
Nice. Yeah, it was a really good showing for you. I know there was our group there and a lot of people from like the Orlando area, the Central Florida area. Everyone was super, super proud of you. Super pumped for you. We were able to, not a lot of your games, but like 3 or 4 of your games went pretty close to time that day.
Yeah, they did.
So we ended up, 5 or 6 of us ended up getting to watch the ends of your games. And I'll just say it on the podcast too. I told you in person, but one thing I remember you saying not too long ago, but you wanted to get better at navigating end games. You felt like you didn't navigate end games very well, consistent. Like you navigate them well, but sometimes we kind of make blunders here and there. And every one that we watched, like you just navigated the end game so perfectly. And you could tell that like you knew how you were going to win each game and you played to that win condition. And it was really impressive. You did a great job.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that comment since this weekend, but you're right. End games were something that I was trying to get better at, and I do think I handled my end games well this weekend. It's definitely when I was tanking the most, and I think it paid off most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely did. So I think we can say hands down you're the best Ronar player in the world. 10th Battle Hardened Atlanta.
Yeah, 10th Battle Hardened Atlanta. That locks it up.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you've been playing that deck for a long time, and you know all the ins and outs of it. And yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive to watch.
Yeah, the big thing for me, like, walking away from an event like that is just, like, I didn't, like, punt anything away. I didn't, like, make stupid misplays that 30 seconds later I knew, like, why did I do that? I made, like, a couple interesting choices that like, maybe if I had done that differently, you know, 6 turns before the end of the game, it could have ended up differently, but maybe not. And as long as I'm like there, I'm not like punting away my wins, I feel fine.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good mindset to have, right? Especially at Battle Hardens, like it's so hard to top 8 those events. You can't lose until the very end, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff has to go your way. To stay live for top 8. Like Evan Herndon, he went X2 in both events and like in the last round of each event, he knew he wasn't live for top eight, you know, but still mm-hmm. played it out. They're grindy events.
Yeah, at the Battle Hardened, everyone between 6th place and 20th place was 6-2.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It's crazy.
I thought I ended 5-3, and I thought, I was like, oh, maybe I'll be live for tickets. And then they said that over the mic. They're like, yeah, at, you know, everybody from 6th to 20th was X2. And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm not getting tickets in this event. Like, I'm going to be just outside of it. But super grindy events, those Battle Hardens and PTIs.
Yeah.
Or Pro
Quest Plus. It's the one day events, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was eight rounds. How was your event? Last Battle Harden we went to was seven. My event was good. I'll just go round by round. I have like my life pad here and stuff. Round one, I started out playing two Katsus, which was one of the matchups I was the most scared of. Like, I put Amnesias mm-hmm. in my list, two Amnesias, basically only for Katsu, and it's a popper, and incidentally good versus Prism, because it's either a popper or it hits her, and Heralds lose the name Herald, right? And it turns off her hero ability. But anyways, I had Amnesias in my list just for Katsu, basically, because I was terrified. So I played Katsu round one, see that I get paired into Katsu. I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. Like, about to get it dished out on me. But it ended up being a new player. His name was Micah. He was super nice. And then like turn three, like I hadn't seen anything unique, but then turn three, he played like a predatory strike and created crouching tigers in his banner stone. And I was like, oh heck yeah. It's a crouching tiger Katsu.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that actually, because I kind of put it out of my mind, because I went immediately into playing another Katsu. And the game mm-hmm. was a lot closer the second time. Micah, he was super nice. New player.
He's getting those Zen reps in.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll be all over Zen. I asked him about it. He said he is excited. I don't remember really anything like in particular about that game. I don't even think I like saw any Amnesia or anything. It just kind of like played... I don't think, Micah didn't really understand how powerful Lumina Ascension was. So he like let it hit every time I played one. He like let it all hit. My soul ended up being like huge, and I was able to have like a really explosive turn at the end to close it out. And then round two, I played another Katsu. His name was Tyler. And this guy, like we sat down, he had like the cold foil hero. He had like gold foil arms. What are they called?
Breaking scales.
Breaking scale, gold foil graded breaking scales, cold foil mask of momentum. Like he was like kitted out. And I was like, oh shit. Like this guy's not new. Like he knows what he's doing. I ended up taking that game again. And I've looking back, I do think that Amnesia is like kind of the reason I won that game. Because before, like he was able to kind of, I'm assuming he was like able to kind of set things up or whatever, but I played an Amnesia and he had to block it, and he like went into the tank for a little bit. So I'm assuming his hand was pretty good. And he was like, is there any way out of this? And the answer is like, no, Amnesia just is 100% must block for Katsu. I sent an Amnesia. He had to block it. And I was like, okay, this is basically how Katsu game goes, is if I am able to like threaten an Amnesia, I have to draw just like gas the next hand, because I just bought myself tempo. Like I just got tempo because they have to take their gas, and like I need a sweet hand, and I drew just like the sickest hand, like the sickest non via the Vanguard hand you can have. It was like be like, I don't even know, something into Beacon, into Lumina, into Valiant Thrust. And then I was just able to like, I got way ahead and was able to kind of close it out from there. If I'm gonna beat Katsu, that's feels like it's kind of how it has to go, or whatever. I won't go into more detail, but Katsu's tough. Then I played, and that guy's name was Tyler. So he was also super nice. Everyone I played was super nice. Then round three, played Gerald. Don't remember what he was on.
You don't write down the heroes? I don't even write down the names. I only write down the heroes.
I usually write down people's names. Round one, I wrote down the name and the hero, but then the other rounds, I just wrote down the names of people. I don't remember what he was on. I can't remember.
That's what happened.
I
won, though. Way too long events back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, I genuinely can't remember.
It's all good. You got there.
Yeah, got there. Started 3-0. I was like, oh my gosh, dream's alive. Bolton. About to take down this battle hardened. Round four, I got paired into you. We were both 3-0. Ended up taking that game, like you said. Ended up just, you know, not having to play around Fleshback very much. Just the way my hands came up, I was able to arsenal my chain finishers a lot. And that's kind of, that lets me play around Fleshback really easily. I also did make like a huge like misplay that you let me take back, which look in hindsight, like, no, I'm like, damn, I probably would have lost the game if I didn't take that back because it was
really close. No, I don't think so. The game wasn't close.
Nah, that's true. But yeah, I had like, I don't know, like pitched Iron Song versus before Via the Vanguard just out of habit, but my finisher was a Valiant Thrust. So like, but before I swung Raiden, I was like, wait, dude, I can't pitch to Iron Song. And you let me take it back. So yeah, high stakes, competitive rules enforcement. There we go.
You're just nervous playing against a celebrity like me. Got my own podcast.
Dude, I was. I do get super nervous. Like whenever I have to play you or Ryan or like anybody I know, I like, it is harder for me to like lock in because I just want to have fun.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, same. I don't get nervous. I just like joke around too much and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like looking around, like smiling, like having a good time. And it's like, oh shit, I messed up. but yeah, I ended up getting that game. So I'm 4-0. Now, I want our listeners to think back to last week. We were talking about the calling Phuket and what I said about the winner of that event, Brody Spurlock, and how he's going to fly across the world from Thailand or wherever the hell Phuket is to Atlanta, Georgia, just to kick my ass. Round five, 4-0, paired into Brody Spurlock. Kicks my ass. Yeah, he didn't actually kick my ass. It was a close game. I think I died. He was at 4 life. So close in life total. The game didn't feel that close because I think the last thing he did before I died was dominate a red in the ledger. So the game wasn't as close as the life total for sure. But that deck is just, oh jeez. And that Azalea deck does its thing. It is like so hard for every deck in the game, I think. Like, I think when that deck, when Azalea does her thing, it's a bad matchup for every deck in the game. So, anyways. Lost Brody 4-1. I was still, like, feeling super positive. I was like, okay, I'm 4-1. Like, I just need to win the next round. That's what I kept telling myself. Like, okay, I just got to win next round. And I got paired into somebody named Jack. He was on Dash. He went first. Turn 0. Loads items, plays Spark of Genius, grabs Teclo Pounder, arsenals a card, and he's just like set up, ready to go. And we it just turned like all my hands that I'm drawing are like, don't block. It's like don't block. Like Luminas, Via the Vanguards, Valiant Thrust, Bolting Blades. Wait,
did he start Pounder or did he start Induction
Chamber? He started Induction Chamber, which. I think is the move into me. So if they start Pounder, I block really well and I can like kind of fatigue them or like I can just like block for as long as Pounder's out and then adjust. But he got to start with both. And it was just like really hard. And he just rolled me. He had a sick high octane turn, shot his pistol like literally 6 times. Like just nuts. And then had immediately after that turn, a 4-card maximum velocity turn. I was like, oh, jeez. It's just like red 0 to 60, red twin drive, max V. Okay. I was like, oh, this is not going. Like, I just got rolled. I don't think there was anything I could have done in that game except maybe play a Warmonger's Diplomacy in my list and hope that I'd play it against him. I don't know.
It's still has to line up, though. Like, it does nothing exactly. That max V turn.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Like, he rolled me. But he was, again, super nice. Like, super nice guy. I think he, like, I don't know if he made, I don't think he made top 8, but I think he was close. He was, like, on the bubble, like you. And then I played Joshua. Yeah, I started out 4-0, ended next three rounds I lost. I'm trying to remember what Joshua was on. I can't remember. I lost to Brody on Azalea. I lost to Dash. KO. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he played KO, which does feel like a favorable matchup for me. But like he played all three cast bones in the game, and two of them were followed up by a Blood Rush Bellow turn, and it was just so much damage. Like I just couldn't. Just overwhelming. Similar to the Dash game.
Yeah.
It was just like so many numbers, and I just felt like, yeah, like I can't keep up. Like I'm blocking as much as I can, stopping on hits, whatever. The reason that the matchup's kind of favored is because KO struggles to block me because he buffs my attacks every time he blocks. He didn't have to block the whole game. So yeah, I lost that game. Then round 8, paired it to, I was like, all right, I'm going to finish this out. I'm going to win the last round. And 5-3, get some ELO, see what happens. Played another KO, and kind of the exact opposite. I just rolled this guy. Like, the game ended. I was like, I don't even know, 17 life or something. It's just everything went right for me.
Man, yeah. I don't think I'd heard you talk about your Dash and KO games yet. That is too bad that they both just kind of clicked.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just there wasn't really anything to talk about, like especially at the events. You know, yeah. I didn't feel like there was anything worth saying. It's just like their deck drew the right cards in the right order and rolled me. Like, yeah. So yeah, ended 5-3. Had a really good time. Learned a lot. I was feeling like super like down about it. Like probably like all Saturday night, even like all day Sunday, kind of. I was just like, man, like I started out so good. I started 4-0, started so good. And you just like get into that winner's bracket and like you just got to play super tight. And I felt like I was playing super tight, but it just like wasn't enough. So I was pretty disappointed. And I was like, you know, but that's how it goes. It's like now looking back, I'm like, no, like 5-3, you have to be happy about. Like that's a good showing. It's a good showing at an event, especially on a hero that a lot of people say is like B tier at best. So yeah. Had a good time.
Yeah, no, I think you should be happy that you played. It does, from what you've said, it doesn't sound like your losses were anything that you need to be mad at yourself about. Like it's any reflection of you as a player or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like looking back, I don't think there were any like huge blunders. I think like maybe in that Dash game I could have like blocked more in certain situations, but I kept drawing Luminas and Valiant Thrust. It's like I gotta play them.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome. You're doing exactly what you need to do, though. You know, like identify the areas for potential growth, and mm-hmm. then explore that. You know, we need to hit up Ryan, and you know maybe try and recreate that. Go on TTS, mm-hmm. get out a pounder, turn 0, and be like, okay, what's my win condition from here?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but Ryan would do that with me, so I should ask him.
That was my main takeaway from the event. Like you kind of mentioned it, that like just these games are just so freaking tight.
Yeah,
you know?
Meta,
you get
meta
good
is
players
so
in a
tight.
Competitive tournament, like you just the margin, especially in this specific meta, with the exception of Dromai this weekend, who guy kind of plays the game on a different axis. You know, like these games are just so tight because everyone's just fighting for small margins to get to 41st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like a huge fan of it. I'm a huge fan of the place the game is in, like because the best thing about Flesh and Blood is like it gets more in 95% of games. The game gets more and more tense as it goes on, right? That's like the whole design mm-hmm. of the game, and like I've never felt that more than like the meta we're currently in. Like just as the game goes on, like there like the stakes get higher, there's more tension. There's like more excitement as a spectator, I think. Like, you know, it's like we're not just watching an OG Prism flood the board with 90 little Kadachis and kill you or something.
I can run down the top 8 real quick, you know, in case people didn't see it.
Yeah, go for it.
Top eight was two Azalea, three Dromai, a Kasai, a Prism, and a Levia. And a Dromai, like I mentioned earlier, ended up taking it, beat Brody on Azalea in the final.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Brody, too. Brody is on a heater. I guess he has been for like 2 years, but.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Jeez. Good for him. That Azalea deck is sick. I actually piloted it, or I played his Azalea deck at the PTI. So, if we want to.
You want to move into the PTI event? I mean, after the tournament Saturday, we kind of just went out with a bunch of friends we have from Orlando, got some great Chinese food, but we're all really tired after that, I think.
Didn't really do super tired. Yeah. Yeah, I think Ryan and I we got a hotel room together, and like we were both asleep by like 10, maybe even earlier. Like as soon as we went back to the hotel, we both just laid down and passed out. But yeah, the Chinese place was really good. What was it, Sue's or something? HSU's? Sue's? It was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
The tiredness, though, actually, that is one of my big takeaways from the event as a learning experience. Because, you know, the meta is going to change for our next humongous event or for our next Battle Hardened or Calling or something. But what's not going to change is, like, the atmosphere and things like that. And the tiredness is just, man... You just got to find a way to deal with it because you're going to be just spent at the end of a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially now that we're like old as shit, round six, dude, I was like, I need something. Like I need a coffee. I need like a little snack, like an energy drink. I was like, I almost like ran out and tried to find one, but like, I could only find like, I don't know. I didn't want to get like a Monster or something. I wanted to, I don't know, but I like needed something. I was like, holy crap, I am tired. Like I'm starting to wear down. And it's all, there's also no time to like eat ever.
We should maybe like make a group communal cooler or something like that for the next event.
That'd be awesome. That's a great
idea. Put it in the corner or something.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to talk to people about that. Should be easy to facilitate. Anyways, PTI, yeah. Dude,
you go first.
Our listeners don't want to hear us talk about our cooler situations.
No, dude, I think we got some insight.
Yeah. So okay, so the ProQuest Plus. I actually, for the first time in 2 years, maybe, I did not register Bolton for like an event bigger than an Arbory. I was like, immediately after the Battle Hardened, I was like feeling pretty down. And our buddy Carlos from Orlando, he had Azalea. And it was like, before we even left the convention center, we were kind of just like dirtling around. I was like, Carlos, you want to switch decks tomorrow? And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, I kind of didn't expect him to say yes. But he said, yeah, let's do it. So then I was pretty locked in on playing Azalea. He's like, do you want to play my list? Or you just want to like play Brody's list? I think I have everything. And I was like, I'll just play Brody's list. Like, it looks a little bit easier to pilot because everything costs zero. I learned that the deck is actually pretty tricky to pilot. There's a lot of things to consider and think about. But it is nice that everything costs zero or one. But yeah, so I piloted Brody's list. I won't go into detail of every round. I'll talk about two or three rounds specifically. But I ended up going like three, four in the ProQuest Plus. I started out hot, started out like 3-1. And I was like, is this list just cracked? Like, am I about to like take this thing down? But then, yeah, got to like play it against some matchups that aren't just like, you don't just let the deck pilot itself. You know, you have to actually know a game plan. And I was like, wait, I'm not charging my soul. What's my game plan? I don't know what to do. But yeah, so round one, this is my main story. I played Lee on Levia, and I had like the worst, this is like the worst round one experience I've ever had. And it was not because of Lee. It was because of myself. So I sit down against Lee. I got Carlos's deck. I get everything out, get my equipment. Can't find Death Dealer. I'm like, oh, okay. Carlos probably has it in his deck box. It's fine. That's what I expect. Or not what I expect, but like I expect it to be in his deck box, like whatever.
Yeah, I follow.
And So I like call a judge. I'm like, hey, judge, I'm borrowing a friend's dick. I don't have Death Dealer. I'm going to go ask him for it. Is that okay? Like, I need to find him, whatever. I might need a time extension. Go over to Carlos. Carlos doesn't have Death Dealer. And I'm like, oh, shit. So then I just start, like, shouting across the tables. Like, hey, does anyone have a Death Dealer on them I can borrow? Like, it's just a token weapon. Does anyone have a Death Dealer? And people are, some people are looking at me like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, what are you, sorry, pardon my language. Dude, shut up. Like, I'm trying to play a game. What are you doing? Like, what? Leave me alone. Some people are, like, getting out their trade binders, and they're like, you probably don't have a token weapon in your trade binder, but I appreciate it. But anyways, I eventually go over it, and I just, like, I'm, like, freaking out. I'm, like, full-on panicking. There's, like, three judges trying to help me. And I'm, like, apologizing to Lee. I'm, like, dude, I'm so sorry, whatever. I'm, like, wasting time. Eventually, someone near us is, like, well, it's just a token weapon. Like, they asked, someone asked the judge, like, could he, I think it might have been Pedro. Like, can he just proxy it? Or whatever, like, can you just proxy it and pretend that something else is the weapon? And I was like, well, there's one problem with that. I need the words. I don't know exactly, like, how it works or what it does. Like, I don't know the order of operations for it. So, and, like, my opponent's like, Jesus Christ, like, what is happening right now? But I'm like, yeah, I don't know what Death Dealer does. So I like, and then the judge eventually is like, okay, we will go find you one. You just, like, use something in its place, and we will let you, since it's a token, you can pull up a picture of it on your phone. So you can read it, you idiot. I'm like, okay, thank you, cool. So Lee and I, we get like a 10-minute time extension. Ends up not mattering. So I sit down, going first. I had already wasted Lee's time. I do some Azalea stuff. I like play out at one of the pumps that like lets me opt, read the glide path or whatever. Opt, not an arrow, send it to the bottom. Yada, yada, yada. Load Death Dealer, draw a card, draw another pump. And then I like realized, like, okay, I don't have a way to look at my top of my deck anymore. I'm like, I guess I just blind Azalea turn zero. Blind Azalea, red in the ledger. Red in the ledger. God. Play two more pumps. Turn zero, dominated red in the ledger with a Seek and Destroy and a Frailty token. Like,
no.
Turn zero. Turn zero. Or it was for 11. Turn zero. So Lee takes 8. Turn zero, sends back the Beast Within for 6, whatever.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that turn zero red ledger before. It's no fun at all.
Dude, poor Lee, it was just one of those Azalea games where, like, he just didn't get to do anything. Like, he didn't get to do anything. And he's like, obviously, like, I felt so bad. I felt so bad. So, like, the way the game ended, too, it's like, I was like, I wasn't, like, trying to troll, but, like, it just was the right play. He flipped into Levia Consumed, and then, like, I had a way 3 turns in a row to play Sleep Dart to turn off the hero ability. So I end the game 3 turns in a row with Sleep Dart. Like, I played 2 of them, and then, like, the 3rd turn, like, he, like, blocks it out, whatever, like, does whatever. Like, the 3rd turn, I, like, play, like, a, I don't know, Bolton Shot with Go Again. It hits, reload another Bolton Shot with Go Again, Codex of Frailty, freaking grab Sleep Dart from Arsenal, like, shoot it. Oh, God. Like, I just, this poor guy. So I won that game. It was not close. And I was like.
Well, how'd you find your Death Dealer?
Oh, dude. This is the best part. I forgot about this. We're like halfway through the game. Oh, my God, dude. This is, everything went wrong for this guy. I shoot an Endless Arrow for, like, a lot. Like 13. I shoot an Endless Arrow for like 13. And I have one card in hand. And it's Rain Razors. And he like full blocks this Endless Arrow with Flesh Bag. And he's like, all right, intimidate that card. I was like, in response to your blocks, I'm going to play Rain Razors. And then I broke Snapdragons because you know, the classic, whatever. Reload with the arms, whatever. I break, or I like flip over snaps. Death Dealer flies out from under the Snapdragon skin. Death Dealer just flies out from under it. And like, I swear to you, myself and the judges were like flipping over my equipment. It was just like stuck. It was like fused. Like Carlos had it in these like little, like these, just these inner sleeves, not like regular sleeves. So they were just like, it was just like fused together. But I guess when I like went to pick up the thing to like flip over Snapdragon, Death Dealer just flies out. So I called a judge over. They had brought me a Death Dealer that they found. I called a judge over. I was like, here's your death dealer back. I found mine. Like, so poorly. I just waste like, I waste like 15 minutes of our time looking for a card that's on my playmat. So I, and yeah. Like Lee, he's like, he's trying to be like super nice, you know, but he's like clearly so salty. And like, I get it. And I just feel as like he
should
awful.
Be. As he should be.
Yes. And I'm just like apologizing profusely. And like, I think maybe part of him maybe like didn't believe me that I had never played Azalea before, because I just like think I just won so handily. But I was like, dude, the deck just like piloted itself. Like, I did not do anything. Just like,
yeah.
I had an instant when you intimidated me. I could dominate arrows. So that's what I did. Like, but I, so, yeah. Oh man, poor. We talked a little bit later in the day and he was like, you know, he's like, you had beginner's luck. You had the beginner's luck plot armor. I was like, I absolutely did. I was like, I absolutely did. I'm so sorry for wasting your time. He's like, it's okay. He like gave me, he like shook my hand or whatever. Cause I think he kind of maybe like felt bad, but I felt so bad. Anyways, round two of that event, I get paired into Brody Spurlock again. I think round two or three, I get paired into Brody Spurlock on his deck. I'm like, holy shit, he's here to kick my ass again. 2 days in a row, all the way from Phuket. I end up, I'm sorry, I'm going on so long. I'm going to wrap this up soon. But basically, I go first again, dominate a red in the ledger turn zero. And I'm like, oh my God, holy shit, here we go. I'm about to beat Brody with his own deck. I draw up, arsenal card, draw up. He like literally does nothing. His turn, he like plays a pump and passes. Like, that's it. My turn, I draw up. I have like a knock the death whistle and like four pumps and like a card to pitch. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go find red in the ledger, dominate it again. I'm going to be ahead by 20 life. And he's just going to pass again. And I'm going to win this game. Turns out I don't know how knock the death whistle works. Didn't read the full card. It does not return the card to your hand. It puts it on top. And like, I knew that, but I did the classic try to activate Azalea twice in the same turn. Because I like think out the line or whatever, but then I started my turn. I cross wrap, look at the top card. It's a pump that I want more. I just have like some vanilla pump in arsenal. It's like a inertia pump or whatever. I don't even know what it's called. Spike with inertia. I'm like, ooh, that one. I want that one. I want to hit him with an inertia token. So I Azalea it in. And then I play knock the death whistle. And then I'm like shuffling it. I'm like looking at it. And I'm like, oh no. I don't have any other arrows. Like, I don't have a way out of this. Because my hand was all pumps. And knock the death whistle. So I was like, I don't have a way out of this. And I just like look at Brody. He looks at me. He's like, are you trying to double Azalea? And I was like, yeah. And so I'm like, oh no. I just have to pass back. And he told me about, he like did that once at a calling. Like, in like the late rounds of a calling, he like did that. He's like, it happens. He's like, better now than at a calling or at a pro tour. So like, get it out of your system now. So anyway, I just passed back. He dominated red in the ledgers B. So then we're dead even. Life
sounds
is
like
even.
A horrible matchup.
It's so awful. Life is even. He ends up winning because he was the last person to red in the ledger in the matchup. Yeah. And that just seems like that's how that matchup goes. But I did get his ass. I took like 20 damage from a Remorseless to play Amplifying Arrow for 22 against him. It was freaking awesome. Hell yeah. And he was pumped about it. He was like, I've never even done that before. Like, achievement unlocked. Like, Red and Ledger for 20. or not right. Red and Ledger. Amplifying Arrow for 22. Five pumps. It took one damage from Remorseless when I played every card. So I took like six damage from Remorseless. But it was worth it. But yeah, I ended up losing that game. Whatever. The rest of the games don't matter. I ended up playing our friend Ryan, co-host Ryan High. Rolled him too. Freaking dominate. Played Red in the Ledger five times that game. Four or five times. Stupid. That deck is stupid. Deck's stupid. I might play it for the pro quest I'm going to, though. See what happens.
I wouldn't blame you, honestly.
I just know there's going to be a lot of Azalea. Like, Azalea's popular in our area. And I don't want to play Bolton into Azalea like three times in one day. I'd rather just... Yeah. Like, play Azalea and then take Bolton to the calling Minneapolis. So yeah, anyways, all right. Sorry. I just talked for like 20 minutes. So your turn.
I really have very little to say about my ProQuest Plus. I went 4-3. I won some games. I lost some games. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of exciting stories to tell. I went 4-3, and wasn't as fun as the Battle Heart. I mean, it was as fun. I didn't do quite as well.
Yeah. You,
I lost to a Dory, a Dromai, and then a Viscerai. So that was kind of cool. Played the Viscerai that ended up top 8-ing, played it in round 2. That was cool, because I hadn't played a Viscerai in a while. That was the game that I played the worst all weekend, I think. And he might have been at 3 health. He was at 2 or 3 health when I died. It was like one of those situations where he was just like chipping me down with arcane, like awkward arcane damage and stuff, and I just couldn't push through anything. But I learned a lot that game, because I haven't played too many Runeblades recently, and I think I need to start. I think Viscerai is good again.
Yeah, Viscerai is good. Another reason to maybe pack Warmongers. That card also hosts him.
Yeah, I'm going to stick on them for sure.
Yeah, and now that Dromai's gone, I think I can do with 2 less poppers and put those in place of CNC in my list. Anyways, cool. So yeah, on the weekend, what were you? On the weekend, you were 10-5?
Yeah, which is like weird, right? Because 10-5, like if you're like you and I, who like come from like a sports background, like, you know, watching and playing sports our whole lives, like 10-5, like that's a good record. But in Flesh and Blood, it's like not that great, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, you had to be better. I don't know what exactly you had to be to top the Pro Tour, but it was definitely way better than 10-5. You had to be like, 12-3 or something, probably? 12-2?
Yeah. 2 or 3 losses. Like, I think 7th and 8th seed, or maybe just 8th seed is 3 losses.
Yeah. Like, so you have to win the vast majority of your games, not just the majority of your games.
Stuff has to go your way. Yeah. Stuff has to go your way. Your win rate at a Pro Tour to top 8, your win rate has to be 85% or something. Like,
I know. Yeah. That's kind of one of my takeaways. You know, like, I feel like I played pretty good this weekend, but like, not that good. You know, I gotta keep leveling up.
Yeah. Especially in a meta where everything's so close. It's like,
yeah,
it's hard. Dude.
Yeah. You're not getting free wins. At least now on Reinhardt and Bolton.
My head was just in a twist after playing that Azalea deck. Because, like, I ended 3-4, obviously, but, like, I didn't know how to play it. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't... Last time I loaded an arrow in this game was, like, Tales of Aria Limited. Like, that's it. Like, I don't play Ranger. Mm-hmm. I never played Lexi. Like, but, like, even still, I could not know what I was doing, and that deck just won games. And it's like, man, that's crazy. It like kind of blew my mind. Like, I was a little bit shook. I was like,
oh, I remember.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm still not, I don't know.
I definitely want to practice into Azalea a lot, so I'll give you some more reps on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll play it a little bit. I do. The other thing too, so I don't think I have fun playing it is the thing, but winning is fun. So I don't know. I should do myself a favor and play the list at the ProQuest. Just like try it. Just try something different. I did learn a ton. I'm only going to one on like the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. So I'm gonna drink margaritas while I play.
Hell yeah.
But because I learned a lot about how I should play as Bolton into Azalea by piloting that list. Yeah. Like, I realized playing that list, like, CNC is really not that good into it because the Death Dealer is broken. It's like, open arsenal, cool, I'll just draw a card.
Yeah, CNC is like, it's definitely good, but it, I mean, they can play around it.
Yeah, it doesn't get you tempo. It
doesn't turn their turn off or anything.
Yeah. Like, there were times where, like, people presented CNC to me and I looked at my hand, I looked at my arsenal, I was like, okay, take 6. Like, you can have that card. That's fine. I'm still going to win. But yeah, so that was really interesting. So do you have any like funny moments that aren't gameplay related, or like any other extra stories you want to share?
Funny moments that aren't gameplay related.
Or gameplay related. Like, and just anything funny.
Man, definitely my best gameplay related moment was that Levia moment. I had a couple of reckless swing wins. That's always fun. Had a couple like heavy intimidate wins. That's always fun. That's like typical Reinhardt stuff. So I guess one moment that does stand out to me, oh gosh, I hope it's okay that I tell this story. Hope he's not too embarrassed. One moment that stands out to me, was not my moment. It was actually my brother's, who's like, plays Flesh and Blood, but doesn't like play as competitively as us or anything. Goes to armories like maybe once a month or so. And decided to, and he has some Phi experience, so he decided to take a Tome of Imperial Flame Phi list to the ProQuest Blessed, you know, have
one
fun.
From the calling, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think from the calling, yeah.
Cool.
To see if you could have fun, you know, get off some big turns and just, you know, have a good time. You know, he wasn't there to take it super seriously. But anyways, there's three Art of Wars in that list. And he had never played with an Art of War before because, you know, he's pretty casual, so he's not going to drop a lot of money on cards. So he borrowed Nick's Art of Wars. Nick, you know, wants to have the staples, but, you know, I mean, you can explain why you have the cards you have. But essentially, Nick has one English Art of War and two foreign language Art of Wars.
Yeah, so Alex, they were just the cheapest ones on TCG Player when I bought them.
Yeah. So Alex is playing Art of War for the first time in his life. Draws up one game with it. I think the first time he saw it, and like he's like, "All right, hell yeah, I'm gonna play Art of War. I know what this card does, even though it's in French." Says no blocks on his opponent or whatever, and then plays Art of War. Says I'm gonna banish a card and draw two. Banishes a Sink Below. And that's not how Art of War works. You have to banish an attack action card. So I honestly don't know how they resolved it. I don't know if they called a judge or whatever. I think his opponent might have just been like, you can't do that. And he just like managed a different card and his turn was real shitty. He just like had a Sink Blow in hand. But yeah, I got a good laugh at him telling me that story.
That's so funny. Alex, if you're listening,
can't read it.
I'm sorry I did you dirty like that. Oh, man. Did he tell you if did they call a judge or anything, or like what happened? Like,
no, he didn't tell me, which yeah. Makes me think that his opponent was just like, his opponent probably taught him how to use his cards, and yeah, he probably just played it correctly.
Or like, what did he say? Did he tell his opponent like, oh yeah, this one's French, I can't read it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think that's why why he told his opponent he did what he did. He's like, oh yeah, I can't read French.
That's awesome. I'm so glad I bought those French Art of Wars.
Yeah.
Dude, oh man, I should charge double for that one if I ever sell it. Like, this one makes your friends do hilarious things. Oh. Oh, that's awesome.
What about you? Anything stands out to you?
I guess... Yeah, I guess Sunday, I guess, is not my day. I guess it's another story of me being a freaking idiot again. Not finding my death dealer. Oh, also, after round one, I was, like, panicking, you know? I, like, went over, got, to, like, just need to, like, sit alone for a second. Gather my thoughts, because I just felt so bad. Like, I felt so guilty. Like, I was like, oh, my God, that guy hates me. Like, I've ruined his day. Whatever. But I sat down. I just, like, went and sat at a table by myself, like, away from everybody for, like, 5 minutes. I was like, okay, all right, I'm fine. Like, whatever. Lee will get over it. I'll get over it. It's fine. Went to stand up, spilled my coffee everywhere, all over the table.
ruined
the tablecloth. Like, with the same judge that found me a death dealer, like, walked over to me. He's like, this you? I was like, yeah, man, it's not my day. Not my day at all. He's like, I'll help you get some napkins. I was like, thanks, man.
That's hilarious. Oh,
but there's that. But also, so my main quest in Atlanta was to get a cold foil courage token. So, like, I had cash with me. I was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, exchange some, make some trades for some dollar bills for some tickets to go buy a cold foil courage token because I'm a Bolton player and I make courage tokens as frequently as possible. I end up buying, I don't know, like 600 tickets. The thing's 700 tickets. I ended up buying like 550 tickets from this guy, Chris, who ended up playing in the PTI event, actually a super nice guy. And then somebody local to us, George, he like, I don't know, like split the finals of like the Star Wars Unlimited event the day before. So we had like a ton of tickets. And I went over to him and I was like, George, can I buy some tickets from you? He was like, dude, you don't have to buy them. Just like, here, you can have some. He gave me like 140 tickets or something. I was like, oh my God, that's so nice. He was like, yeah, just buy me a beer sometime. I was like, I'll buy you two beers. Deal. So anyways, I go over Do I have enough tickets to buy or to get my Cold Foil Courage token? And I've never bought anything with tickets from an event like this before. I usually like, I'm not interested in what they have or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah. So I like, don't know the process or whatever, but I'm just like talking to the person. I'm like, yeah, I just like bought the tickets I needed from, you know, from somebody over there. And he looked at me, he's like, I didn't hear that. And everyone around me is like, dude, what are you saying? Like everybody like jumped at me. And I was like, what the, I almost like told the guy, I was like, oh, I, like, he's like, he looked at me, he's like, I didn't hear that. And I almost was like, oh, I bought the tickets. But everyone stopped me before that happened. And everybody's like, no, shut up. And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to say that. You're like, you're not supposed to buy and sell tickets. You're like, that's like not a thing.
Dude, I had no idea, honestly.
Yeah, I had no idea either. And like, it makes sense. Like,
but of course it would happen to you on that day.
On that day, it's just like my being just a jag. Like, of course I just have to open my mouth. I just like, of course I just have to talk about the things that I've done so that everyone can hear it. So moral of the story is like, Nick needs to talk less. But yeah, everybody was like, you are an idiot, dude. What are you doing? But yeah, but I was like, they know we all buy tickets, right? And they're like, yeah, they know, but you can't tell them. So anyways. So yeah, that was pretty
weird.
Oh, it's pretty, I got my, okay. Last thing, then we'll wrap up. Remember how like 2 days ago we were talking about how we should, you know, make the podcast shorter, like we said we would at the very start, make it like 30 minutes.
We Ryan's out here to rein us in.
Yeah, seriously. Gosh. Ryan, we need you. You know, my favorite thing, one of my favorite things from the whole trip is we rented this giant SUV, right? And we decided to play car games of Flesh and Blood. So we like laid out a playmat upside down so it was sticky. We like put our decks in the cup holders and stuff. We like were playing Flesh and Blood in the car. And Ryan was like so about it. He was like, somebody play a car game. Someone play a car game. Whatever. So we played like two or three car games. But the funniest one was on the way back, you and Evan played a car game, Reinar versus Dash IO. And just like the way we had to manage it, it was just like Evan had all his like dice everywhere, just like falling all over the car. He has to look at the top of his deck. So we like can't put the deck in the cup holder. So I was in the very, very back holding his deck. And whenever he would look at me, I would just flash the top card to him. And like Ryan would be like, Ryan held it. Don't him to like fan it out to you if you need to look at it. It was just like a hilarious, like,
yeah,
I don't even, it's a hilarious like image.
Yeah, the car
I'm
games
sure.
on the way up were all the car games on the way up were already hectic, and then Dash IO, like of all heroes, has like so much going on. Horrible like
10 items
for
like,
a car game. But Evan was a gamer. Like, he went for it. I'm glad he did.
Oh, Evan's a true
I appreciate
gamer.
The game, Evan, if you're listening.
Yeah, Evan, at former child Evan Herndon is a true gamer. U.S. national champ runner-up, the GOAT. So, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, overall, super fun weekend.
It was a great trip all around.
Yeah, it was a great trip.
Opponents were great. I thought the venue was well-run. Just all really good. I'm excited to do it again, you know? I'm excited just to get up to more events.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, yeah, we should probably wrap up. I had another. The last thing on the list was like post-Romai. What are we thinking? But let's just save that for next week.
List is going to stay basically the same because, you know, I'm not bringing in poppers. I just have poppers. So,
Yeah. I think I might get rid of CNC finally in my list and do something else. But we could talk about it more next week. So, all right.
Yeah, let's test a little bit. Then maybe next Sunday, do our thoughts.
Yeah. It's all right. So thanks everyone for listening to Tuesday Night Flesh and Blood this week. Have a great week.